35 years ago, this Tuesday, this church held its first worship service. It was a different world. Ronald Reagan was president of the United States. The Soviet Union still existed. The World Trade Center towers still loomed over New York City and would do so for an additional 15 years. There was not any of what we now call social media, and very little awareness of something called the internet. That was the province only of the most elite members of the tech community. It would be 14 years before the founding of Sermon Audio. The standard ways of advertising were by the printed word, flyers, tracts, newspapers, and significantly for our church, the Yellow Pages. This last week, as you may have heard, Rush Limbaugh died. He was one of the most influential personalities in the history of radio. But when this church held its first service, his national radio show was more than 2 years from its launch. Radio in those days, especially AM radio, appeared to be on the way out. To begin a church in that time, by the judgment of the people of the world today, would have appeared to be an impossible venture. But God had a people in the Phoenix area, and they were praying for the establishment of a reformed church that would emphasize the preaching of Christ. On the first anniversary of the church's founding, 34 years ago tomorrow, some of those people were in attendance. Shortly thereafter, others joined the fledgling group and began to learn what the Free Presbyterian Church was about. Our text today, 1 Samuel 7:12, has served on other major points in the church's history, such as the last service at Moon Mountain School and the last service at Glendale Avenue. In the passage we have read, the Lord gave his people deliverance from the hands of their enemies, and Samuel did not want them to forget that deliverance. So he set up, as we read, a stone pillar and called its name Ebenezer, the stone of help. It was to be a visible reminder to the people of the Lord's intervention to deliver them from the Philistines. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The Lord's help is real. This church has its history now of 35 years of existence, and that history is a record of the Lord's gracious dealings with us. We have to say with Samuel, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. At the end of the day, the Lord is in a covenant relationship with us, and he can never forsake that relationship. The Lord has said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And that covenant relationship speaks to us of the redemption that Christ accomplished through his sinless life and his sacrificial death, and it is the foundation of everything in our church's ministry. The church that Christ purchased is the Lord's prized possession. And in his church, he finds great joy. So today, as we mark this special anniversary, we consider God's help over 35 years. To give us some sense of the scope of God's help over 35 years, I propose to undertake a review today of the history of our church in four phases. And those phases correspond to the four places in which the church has spent long periods of time. So I'm going to leave out the few months that we spent meeting at a hotel during 1997. But those places express each one in different ways how the Lord has helped us. Now, it is a great problem for me today to undertake such a review because 35 years is a long time and a lot has happened. So you'll appreciate that I can do little more than to highlight some aspects of each phase and mention some details. And I'm going to mention the names of some people in our congregation, but not everybody. So if you don't hear your name mentioned, don't think that you didn't make the cut. Somehow you have been forgotten along the way, because we have to try to keep to our time. So let us begin with the first phase, foundation. Moon Mountain School, 1986 to 1997. At Moon Mountain School, there was a portable classroom building that was not being used, and the Lord opened the way for us to lease it. The blessing of that arrangement was it was our building. Now, to reach it, you had to go through two sets of gates, and across the way was another gate that opened to a restroom that we were able to use, which was never a great place, but the Lord enabled us to use it. And through a number of developments, as we looked for the opening of that building, the Lord provided what we needed. It was a very modest place. It was on school grounds, but it was our building. During the years that we met in that place, there were births of a number of children to our founding members. The first of those was in 1989. With the exceptions of Jane Chapler and Caleb Morrow and David and Elise Vosikons, all of the children of our congregation were born while we were at Moon Mountain School, so that for some of them, their first recollection of being in the house of God was in that 30 by 30 square, that 30 by 30 building, 900 square feet. The Lord helped us in bringing those children to us. We didn't really have much in the way of facilities to deal with very young children. And some of you will remember that our brother Herb built a little area in the back corner of the room so that young mothers with their young children could go there and be a little bit separated. The sound was muffled, but not completely erased. But we were able to survive in that way. During the time we were at Moon Mountain School, our sister Marie Dane came to her promotion to heaven. So we had her funeral. That was in 1994. Her daughters and sons-in-law, Jean and Terry Lohman, and Marie and Carl Veenstra, have been part of the church since the beginning of its second year. Also, while we were at Moon Mountain School, there was a time of contention, for in only the second year, Pope John Paul II visited Phoenix, and our church joined a number of other small congregations to launch a protest against that visit. And it was a public protest, and we were able to spread the gospel. It did not endear us to many people, but we were able to take our stand for the truth. During the years that we were at Moon Mountain School, we had visits from various Free Presbyterian ministers. Chief of those, obviously, was Dr. Ian Paisley, who visited our church in 1995. But we also had Dr. Alan Cairns, Dr. Frank McClelland, Dr. Mark Allison, Reverend Kevin McLeod, Reverend John Greer, and a number of others. Due to the limitations of our facility at Moon Mountain School, we had no Sunday school. There was no place to hold it. But there was, in God's providence, a young adults fellowship that held meetings during part of that period. While we were at Moon Mountain School, the first wedding in the congregation took place. That was Kelvin Morrow and Kelly Lohman, who were married on December 28, 1991. So this year will be 30 years since that event took place. And that was another indication of the Lord's help in the work of God. The first baptismal service took place on October 8th. 1994. The pulpit that we still use in the church was presented by the Veenstras to the church in 1994, and our brother Carl was the one who crafted it, with the exception of the burning bush carving on the front. They hired someone in the area to do that. Later, the communion table was added to the pulpit. In 1989, the church launched the Phoenix version of Let the Bible Speak, a radio ministry that began as a 15-minute broadcast and later expanded to 30 minutes and continued until 2000. And there were people in this area who learned about the work of our congregation through that ministry. January 19th, 1995, marked the formal constitution of our congregation. Dr. Paisley, Dr. Cairns, Dr. McClelland, and some others were present on that occasion to constitute this work as a member congregation in the presbytery. And at that time, there was only one presbytery. The first election of deacons took place late in 1996. So that's nearly 25 years ago now. That was our foundation period of a lot of memories of Moon Mountain School, not all of them pleasant. Sometimes we came there on prayer meeting night, and the parking lot was overflowing with cars, and there was some school function that made it impossible for us to meet there. By the time we came toward the end of our days there, we were able to get the school to let us know a little in advance about those developments, but there were many times when we had no advance knowledge. But the Lord provided for us richly there and helped us there. The second phase is what I call development. Rose Garden Lane, 1997 to 2004. We had to leave Moon Mountain School because the school building was to be demolished and a new school was to be built on the property. So that meant that the portable classroom buildings were to be demolished as well, or taken somewhere else. And eventually the Lord provided for us a comfortable facility north of what was to be the 101 freeway. The freeway didn't exist really at that time. Parts of it were under construction. But we spent 7 years at Rose Garden Lane, and one of the blessings of that time was that we began our Sunday school. That was at the start of 1998 when we began holding Sunday school classes. We had two different classrooms plus the auditorium, and that is how we functioned in our Sunday school. Jane Chapler and Caleb Morrow were born while we were in that Rose Garden Lane facility. They were dedicated to the Lord in 1999. In 2002, there were additional baptisms, and there was the inauguration that year of the denominational hymnal. Hard to believe it's been almost 19 years since we've been using our hymnal. We had some challenging times while we were at Rose Garden Lane. Some members of the congregation departed in 2000 and a few others in 2002. And we had some other sad developments. Earl Adelot Sr. died in 1998. Chuck Arnold died in 1999. And Greta Sanger in 2001. So these were charter members, except for Earl Adelot Sr. These were charter members of our congregation. In 2002, our daughter Carolyn married Steve Rohr. In 2003, the church purchased vacant land at the corner of 67th Avenue and Paradise Lane in Glendale, on which it hoped to construct a church building. Now, if you go by that place today, you will see that finally, after many years, a building has been erected there for healthcare purposes. But that was a summation, really, of the main events that took place during that period of time. We come to the third phase now, which I call waiting. Glendale Avenue, 2004 to 2010. The committee of the church decided to save money, it would be advisable to relocate to a less expensive facility, and the church moved into that facility in October 2004. It was an upstairs room in an office complex near 43rd Avenue and Glendale Avenue. We were back to the previous situation of not having any facilities for Sunday school. So during the years we were there, while our worship services and our prayer meetings went on, Sunday school could not meet. There were a lot of challenges in what I think would be fair to say was a difficult environment. Sometimes we came there and the air conditioning was not working. So when we opened the door and the temperature inside was above 90 degrees, we knew we would not be meeting there on that occasion. There were also homeless people who tended to use that place as a hangout. There were places where they could hide. And sometimes when we arrived for church, we discovered people there and had to ask them to leave. So there were a number of challenges that we faced during that period, but there were other ways in which the Lord helped us. He gave us a place to be, to meet, and provided an elevator that some could use to reach that upper story room in that complex. One highlight of this period was the official constitution of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. It took place on May 17th, 2005, in Toronto, Free Presbyterian Church. And it was a privilege to be part of that occasion. Early in 2009, while we were still at Glendale Avenue, Reverend and Mrs. Craig Vosikans and their year-old son, David, relocated to Phoenix and became part of the congregation. During that same year, 2009, the church baptized more of its young people. During 2009 as well, the church reached the decision that it was not going to be able to build on the land it owned and sold that land and realized a substantial gain on that land. When we bought the land, we paid $135,000 for about an acre and a half, roughly, of land. When we sold the land, we sold it for about $500,000, so that the net that we realized on the land after other expenses was about $400,000. And that was right at the threshold of the real estate crash here in Phoenix. So that the Lord helped us in that way. As one of our elders in Greenville said at the time, maybe what the Lord is doing is in the land. And it turned out to be the case, because we were able to use the proceeds of that sale to buy this place. Late in 2009, we bought this place. It was in shell condition. All of these improvements were not here at the time. And it was to become the permanent location of our church. And there were so many aspects of that transaction and of the development of this facility while we were still meeting at Glendale Avenue that provided example after example of the Lord's help. So we can say, as Samuel said, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And then we come to the fourth phase, which I call settlement. West Larkspur Drive. That's where we are now. 2010 to the present. In April of 2010, the construction project began in this space and was finished during June. And we held our first service in this facility on July 4th, 2010. It was not a sad time in particular, the previous week when we held our last service at Glendale Avenue. I don't think anybody shed tears over leaving that place. I certainly didn't. But we rejoiced to come into this place the following Lord's Day, July the 4th, 2010. And in September of that year, September 25th, we held the official dedication of this building with representatives of our presbytery in attendance. And Reverend Gallagher was our preacher on that occasion. And he preached. Other members of the presbytery were here. And we rejoiced in the opportunity to set this building apart, as it has been ever since, for the preaching of the gospel, for the exaltation of the triune God. After moving into the building, we were able to resume our Sunday school. We had made provision for some classroom space, and Sunday school resumed in September of 2010. In 2012, Elise Vosikans was born. In 2013, the church held its first election for elder and elected Herb Chapler as a ruling elder, and he was installed in his office in April of that year. Since our move into this building, we have conducted other baptismal services, not in this building. Our standard place now is the pool at the Morrow's home. That's where many of our baptisms have taken place. And we have the situation now that all of the young people who were born in the congregation, with the exception of Elise, all of the young people who were born and dedicated to the Lord, who are still part of the church, have now been baptized. In 2015, we said goodbye to Betsy Arnold, whom the Lord took to be with him. And in 2018, we said goodbye to Earl Adelot Jr., whom we call Winky. So there are some of the events that took place. There are many other things I could describe. Our annual Reformation Month series, where we sought to commemorate the work of the Protestant Reformation. For a number of years, we held Reformation weekends, late in October or in November. But here we are now in this place at the end of 35 years of labor in the ministry of the gospel, to know that this work is about, as it has been from the beginning, the preaching of Christ. Christ has been building his church here, in this place and in the other places that I mentioned. He has been building his church for 35 years. It is his work. And we must, on this occasion, acknowledge his work. He has helped us in his work. When we met on the 34th anniversary last year, our daughter and son-in-law and their family were with us on that occasion. That was just a year ago. And we really had no idea what was about to descend upon us. But since that time, obviously, we have spent the better part of a year dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. And there were a number of weeks when we were not able to meet together in person. Since we began meeting again, our meetings have been restricted in some ways, but we have rejoiced in the blessing of being able to meet when others are not able to do so. The Lord has helped us even during this time. One of the real problems that many churches have faced during the pandemic is the loss of financial support. But I can say to you, on behalf of our treasurer and our brother Kelvin from the session and committee, that the Lord has sustained his work over the last year And in some ways, it was one of the best years we have had financially for quite a long time. There are a number of reasons for that, but the main reason is that the Lord has helped us. We have committed ourselves to the ministry of the Word of God and to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this passage, I think it is well to conclude by taking note of the fact that Samuel spoke to the house of Israel in verse 3, "If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." Here was the challenge to the people. If you are serious about returning to the Lord, then put away all the things that have distracted you. And we read in verse 4 that they did so. They put away Balaam and Ashtaroth. They had been serving them. Now they came back to serve the Lord only. Our church has been about calling people to serve the Lord only. And then the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us," in verse 8, "that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And we read in verse 9, "Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him." The intercession for Israel was on the ground of the sacrifice. The work of this congregation has been on the ground of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sought to turn the attention of those who come here to the cross. We well remember what Dr. Paisley so often said, "Keep near the cross. Lift up Christ and him crucified." That is what we have sought to do here. And we read of the great deliverance that the Lord gave to his people. "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." That has to be our testimony on this day. I trust it is your testimony in your life. You think of all the journey of your life, wherever you are in your life now, whether toward the beginning or toward the end. Let your statement be, "Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us," because the Lord who has helped us will continue to help us. Underneath, Moses said, are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is our refuge. We praise him for his faithfulness to help us, and we wait upon him for his continued faithfulness to help us in the days to come.